Hello, I'm Guillermina Gonzalez, Executive Director of the Delaware Arts Alliance, your host for today. And today we have three important guests and good friends of ours. Jane Rubin from the Christ Church Christiana 100, Stephanie Stats, YWCA Chief Executive Officer, and Camila Diabate, I'm hoping to pronounce your name correctly, past winner of the Reason for the Program, which is talking about the Martin Luther King Communications Contest. Welcome, ladies, to the program. So, and Jane Rubin was the creator of the Martin Luther King Communications Contest. So let me begin with you, Jane, to tell us why Martin Luther King, why the Communications Contest. Tell us the spirit of the event and the Communications Contest.
Well, I have to say that the idea began actually a few years ago when I was going through a difficult time, and then as a result, sometimes when you have these challenges, it compels you to take action that maybe you may not have taken. So as a result, to make a long story short, I came up with initially an idea for a public speaking contest for youth to give them an opportunity to be heard. And that evolved into a communication contest based on with being guided by Dr. King's work in the 1960s for social change. And as a communication contest, different from just public speaking, we learned that youth would be more interested if they were able to use poetry or rap in addition to speech. So that's when it evolved into the communication contest itself. The other way it connected with Dr. King was I had attended a Martin Luther King forum that had been organized by the YWCA. And at the end of that, Cynthia Primo was the guest that day, and she challenged us all as to what could we do to make things better. So with that in mind, that's when I started to make the connection with Dr. King. With all that had been going on at the time, the shootings, the social unrest,
It just made sense, right?
It just seemed I hadn't been hearing anything, any of his, it seemed like his work was getting lost. And I thought maybe by connecting it, the speaking with Dr. King's work and getting the youth involved and giving them a chance to get reacquainted with Dr. King and his work and learn how it can speak to them today, to their hopes and dreams today.
Right.
And that's really how it all began. And then I started talking with people.
There you go. And that made, you mentioned the YWCA, and luckily enough, Stephanie Stats made a spot on her busy agenda, because I know that, Stephanie, you are like nowhere to be seen because you're super busy. And so, but thanks for having the time. And tell us about that connection, because clearly it speaks to the mission of the Y in many ways, right?
It does, it does. And first, you flatter me way too much, but thank you for that. Return the favor. It's really my pleasure to be here, really. But you're right, the mission of the YW is to eliminate racism and empower women, stand up for social justice, help families, and strengthen communities. And a way that we do that is by encouraging and facilitating dialogue where individuals can explore their own attitudes and beliefs about racial and social justice. So there's many ways that we do that, both on an individual level with people, but also at a community level.
Right.
One of the ways that we do that at the community level is we host and present an activity every Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And to Jane's comments earlier, Jane participated in one of those events. And she approached us about 2 years ago, I guess.
2014.
to ask if we'd be interested in co-presenting and helping, you know, plan and implement the MLK Junior Communications Contest, and we were delighted to partner on that with her.
And it makes, I mean, it's one of those things that I just see win-win situation, because the concept of Martin Luther King speaks, who better than Martin Luther King in explaining what difference are all about, but also how we can find common ground.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, his legacy of, you know, service and education and peace are as relevant today as they have been in the past.
Right.
And, you know, perhaps even more relevant today.
Right.
To share with one another, to better understand one another, and to try and find, you know, common ground where we can respect one another's differences, but also be kind of united as a greater community. And I think what is particularly distinctive about the communication contest is that it really is reflecting on Dr. King's message of social change, but through the lens and the perspective of our youth. And that is such a very important perspective,
right.
And the voices and the, you know, their hopes and their dreams and kind of seeing that expressed creatively is really powerful.
It is indeed, and that it's a good segue to Camila, because certainly you participated, Camila, in the last contest, and you were the winner of that contest. How does you, by any stretch of the imagination, were present when Martin Luther King was doing these, conducting these social conscience calls for the nation. But you connected somehow, somewhere, to the point that you decided to participate in the Martin Luther King Communications Contest. Tell me about that connection. Why and how did you connect?
I notice a lot of the things that go on today, and if you look back in the history, it's the same things, like police brutality and social injustice. And I write poetry anyway, and I write about those topics because I feel like they affect me directly because of my heritage and things like that. So a friend told me about the contest, and I thought it would be a good opportunity to express what I felt and to be heard by people who would listen.
So it felt close to home in a way.
Yes.
And you're so right, because what he was experiencing back then, is sad to say that probably we haven't learned the lesson in many ways.
Right.
And race is for and in at the center of so many discussions, and people are afraid to talk about that. Why do you think is that?
I think it's a sensitive topic because people are uncomfortable with how they feel, and they feel like they're like, they don't like how they are on that topic, so they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to deal with it themselves.
Tell me more about that. Why do you think that they don't like who they are?
Well, before, racism was okay, but now that people are starting to stand up against it publicly, they don't really want to be called out, so they just avoid the topic altogether.
Right. And so that inspires you. Those topics, how he addressed the issue back then, inspire you to create something. What was the piece? Can you share like a little something of that so people realize about your winning piece?
I had a dream, he said. 5 years later, Martin was dead. Marching from Selma to Montgomery. Look at what they've done to me. Abomination, genocide, things he hope he never see. See, his spirit lives through me. Me and my bros. When we're wearing the new fours, whipping the Benz with the 24s. Don't say that's why we're poor. Remember, it was my heart that you tore. You see the blood drip as I walk through the door.
Thank you. Thank you. And I don't know, you make people think. And that's a talent that you should preserve.
Thank you.
Because not everybody connects that way. And that's the secret in between an artist that connects and an individual that just talks. Right?
That's right.
So before going back to you guys for some of the things, because there's so many things that I would like to talk, but certainly we need to re-engage with the audience to let them know that you are listening into News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV for the Delaware State of the Arts radio show. Our guests today are Jane Rubin from the Christ Church Christina 100 and creator of the Martin Luther King Communications Contest, Stephanie Statz, YWCA Chief Executive Officer, and Camila Diabate, past winner of the Martin Luther King Communications Contest. So the contest evolved, Jane, and you are looking forward to continue having the contest. What are the differences for the next iteration? When are you expecting this to happen? And for those interested, what do they need to do?
Well, for those interested, registration is now open and it's through the YWCA.
Okay.
So they can visit the YWCADE.org to register. The semifinals will be held on January 7th, mm-hmm. 2017, and the finals actually this year will be on Sunday, January 15th at mm-hmm. 2 o'clock at the Baby Grand, where seven finalists that have been selected from the semis will present their message. And that they each get about 5 minutes, give or take 30 seconds,
okay,
to speak. And this past January, I have to say, all seven presentations were very creative and very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't sure what to expect because of opening it up to include the poetry and the rap,
mm-hmm.
but everyone did an amazing job, and everyone was so different that it was a wonderful tribute in the end to Dr. Mm-hmm. King's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, in addition to having the semis and the finals, we're also having a workshop for all contestants who are registered by December 1st on oratorical and presentation skills.
Mm, mm-hmm.
That will take place, as I said, December 10th in the afternoon. It's mm-hmm. a Saturday afternoon. And it's being organized by Jane Thompson. She's an author and senior lecturer with Widener University.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage everyone, if they can register by December 1st
mm-hmm.
Through the YWCA, and to attend the workshop. I think that all contestants will have could benefit by that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the finalists will also, again this year, have one-on-one sessions with Hugh Atkins
mm-hmm.
and to help prepare for the finals on the 15th, which actually is Dr. King's birthday. It's
how you like that?
I mean, everything has just gone so well. When I first met with Stephanie with regard to partnering
mm-hmm.
With us at the time, Christ Church had a relationship already through their outreach program with the YWCA, so it mm-hmm. made it just seemed to be a perfect fit, and they came on board and the church came on board, and pretty much everyone I've spoken with has been so supportive. We have some amazing judges. Last year they were amazing. This year another wonderful group of people who are willing to lend their time and support the contest. And the judges also reflect the diversity of the Wilmington community.
Mm-hmm.
We have judges from University of Delaware, Carol Henderson, the mm-hmm. Vice Provost for Diversity,
mm-hmm.
Ajit George as an entrepreneur with TEDx, Namdi, who is one of the twin poet laureates.
Yeah, poet laureate.
We have all three poet laureates will be.
And Joanne Balingit, the former poet laureate.
Yes, she'll be judging at the semis. So the Honorable William Chapman.
Well, I mean, you can't have better than that. Just having the former and the current poet laureates of the state
yes.
of Delaware, you said it all.
Yes. So we're the judges will reflect the creativity, will reflect the academic, and in the end, the first prize of $1,000 is...
Hey, listen, that's not that bad.
No, not exactly. Chump change. So, so we're asking everyone to really bring their A game, because this is an opportunity, really, where the youth will be heard, and heard by some very... the leaders of the Wilmington community are really interested to hear and listen
right.
to what they have to say.
And you're making a very important point, because certainly we don't really have much outlets or many outlets
exactly.
for youngsters to express their opinions and how they really think about stuff.
Yes.
Without being silenced or moderated in a way. It's important. It's important to have these voices of dissent, if you will. What do you think about that, Camila? Do you think we have enough outlets for youngsters? What would you like to see?
I would like to see creativity accepted. I feel like that's shut down in schools, especially. I feel like the youth they're trying to train the youth to be conformed to one standard.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes a lot of the problems that we see today. So mm-hmm. when they let everybody be an individual rather than a group, then things will start to change.
Mm-hmm. And that speaks to the need to including the arts in how kids are taught.
I definitely agree.
Right? So it also might bring the need of for youngsters to have an advocacy spin to it.
I agree. Someone needs to speak for the youth, because a lot of the youth have many things to say.
Mm-hmm.
They have suggestions, but they're afraid to be shut down because of all of the people that have been shut down before. So the youth needs courage, and they need hope and support from everyone else. Because art is a great way to express yourself. One of the major ways to express yourself.
Right. And that's the value of the Martin Luther King Communications Contest. Because that's the creation of that kind of outlet that is so very much needed for youngsters. Because it is true, it's by favoring and helping unleash that tremendous potential that we adults might be able to think differently. Because otherwise, we're just thinking sometimes that we got it. And guess what? We don't. And we just have to be humble enough to understand that we need to learn from them in a different way, don't you think, and Stephanie? And how do you connect that? Because you certainly, you've been related to these kind of efforts before. And certainly the why could have, or is having, I should say, like in the case of this contest, these outlets for youngsters. Are you thinking about expanding somehow, somewhere, the offering of the Y for this need?
Well, we're very interested with continuing to grow the MLK Communications Contest with Jane. I mean, mm-hmm. she's the visionary, mm-hmm. and we are supportive in every way that we can be supportive. And it's an easy fit, one, because it's so aligned with our mission. But also at the YW, we recognize, it's a cliche, but very true. I mean, youth are our future.
Mm-hmm.
And to marginalize our youth is, I think, to all of our detriment.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, the voice, I mean, just some of what you heard from Camila today, those are powerful words and powerful mm-hmm. insights
mm-hmm.
That if, as adults, we're open to hearing... can help move us all forward.
Mm-hmm.
And again, back to, you know, creating these bonds with each other
mm-hmm.
In a sense of community
mm-hmm.
That, you know, ultimately advances, can advance social justice, can
mm-hmm.
advance racial justice.
Mm-hmm.
For the YW work now in the area of youth, we've done two things over the past couple of years. One is we've greatly expanded our youth development program. It concentrates a lot around college and career readiness
mm-hmm.
and the development of life skills.
Mm-hmm.
So when our girls, we do work with girls and boys, but it is primarily girls.
Mm-hmm.
But when they graduate from high school, they're really prepared for adulthood,
mm-hmm.
both, you know, emotionally, with strong self-esteem, but also with, you know, the practical skills and tools that they need to be successful in adulthood. Also, over the past year, we've had an opportunity to incorporate the arts into some of our adult programming. And so it's been a little of an experiment for us, but it's been going very well.
A good experiment.
Right.
A good experiment that I hope you guys keep. And just to close, we don't have much time left. And Jane, for those who are listening right now, could you please summarize, in case of interest, how can they participate? When is this going to happen and all these, please?
Okay, well, they can participate by registering through the YWCAD.org website. Every contestant does require an adult sponsor, someone willing to mentor them and work with them, support them through the process. If they register by December the 1st, they can attend the workshop that's being given by Jane Thompson. And then the semifinals will be held January 7th, and that's an all-day event, and that will be held at the Episcopal Church of Saints Andrew and Matthew. And then the finals, from the semis, seven will be selected to present at the finals on Sunday, January 15th, 2 o'clock at the Baby Grand. And I know it takes a lot of courage to get up and speak in front of people, let alone three, five adults, your superiors, shall we say, in one sense. So I encourage them to don't let fear stop them from sharing with us what they would like to see, how their hopes and dreams with going forward, guided by Dr. King. I would ask and hope that they'll get out there and register.
And with that, we're almost closing the program. I want to thank the three of you for participating and coming and sharing all these ideas and the important outlet that the Martin Luther King Communication Contest has become. And for that, thank you very much. And we're going to bring you back just to share the news who is the winner this time around. Thank you.
Thank you.